check the watch. What time is it?
Why you punish me?
Time. Why are you punishing the Pacers? What time is it? Oh, I know what time it is. It's effing Dame time. It's Dame time, baby. Check the freaking watch. It's time. 35 points. Damian Lillard sets a Milwaukee Bucks record for either half of most points scored in said half. 35 points. Check the watch again. Yeah, I think it's Dame time. I don't think I've ever thought to myself, I talk Damian Lillard and play Hootie and the Blowfish at the same time, but here we are. Trying to think of songs with time in it. For Dame time, Damian Lillard. Bucks get a 109-94 victory over the Pacers. Game one, baby. No Giannis Antetokounmpo. No problem. Check the watch. Check it. Yeah, it's Dame time. Well, I'll get this out there, though. How in the world does he score 35 points in the first half and then not a single bucket again in the second? Can someone explain that to me? I know the Pacers, you're doubling them up, putting two on them, and really stopping them. How is it possible to go 35 points in a half and then zero in the second? But still, check the watch. It's freaking Dame time. Check it. Damian Lillard. What did he say? That's why you brought me here, is what Dame time said in the first half of that game. He was absolutely in fuego. Just absolutely dialed in for the playoffs. It's time. Kinger says clobbering time. Hey, speaking of clobbering time, and we'll get to the Bucks. Just wanted to do a... Trying to think of all songs with time in it today in honor of Damian Lillard. I had got a couple already, but for some reason, just Hootie and the Blowfish was speaking to me with time. Check the watch. But speaking of clobbering time, how about the Milwaukee Brewers, baby? Clobbering the St. Louis Cardinals the first time since 2018 that they went to Busch Stadium and swept the birds as they get... they do it every way possible. Friday, Saturday, and yesterday. As the Brewers get it done over the weekend, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. We got some good pitching. We got some good hitting. Jackson Chourio, that dude on Saturday, like, So Brewers get a nice little sweep over the weekend. So both of our Milwaukee teams, you're left feeling good. Hey. And then we're kind of left with the remnants of Wisconsin sports, more so basketball. Connor Asegin has found a new home after hitting the transfer portal. A while ago, he's with the Nebraska Cornhuskers. So sticking in the Big Ten for a season. A lot of other teams getting names. And you're left wondering, when are the Badgers going to start, you know, having some names come their way? There's, you know, rumors. There's, you know, musings, wonderings, ponderings. When can we get a guy that's been like, hey, I'm coming? And we're like, all right, cool. So Connor Asegin finding a new home, and you're still left with this NIL stuff, and you're scratching your head like, what's happened to college sports, man? We talked about it a lot on Friday, obviously, because that's when the news of Chucky Hepburn hit, what, Thursday afternoon. And Friday we jump on the airwaves, and it was just like, what the hell is going on with not only Wisconsin, but I guess just college sports as a whole? Is Chucky Hepburn and all the money getting thrown around out there and NIL and yada, yada, yada. The weekend, I never made any sense of it. I was still confused over it all, over the weekend that was, thinking about NIL in college sports. Like, I mean, this is what it is. You're going to have to get used to it. So you got that on the brain. And then, my friends, we're almost there. Thursday, the NFL's draft will be live in Detroit as Brian Gutekunst prepping for the draft. He'll have his first presser, well, his pre-draft presser. That's today, later today. So Goody, as he's, getting his war room all set up, ready to go, he will hit the media circuit today and talk to everyone. So that'll be after Over the Line's done. So we'll react to it this afternoon, obviously, but on the show tomorrow we'll get to it with Goody. And we get ready for the draft, man. Packers, 11 picks, 25th overall. They're primed, baby. They are primed and ready to go. It feels good. Real damn good. As the NFL's finally, you know, coming back around to clinch their iron fist on the news cycle and be like, don't forget about us. We got this thing. All right, how's everyone's weekend, by the way? 608-321-1670, you can call or text that in, or any of your takes, Wisconsin-related, sports-related, doesn't matter. NBA playoffs, start of the show there, Dame time, but looking around the league, you know, Bucks were up big, right? You know, they're up big on the Pacers, running away with the damn thing, all because of Damian Lillard. Hell, Lillard almost scored just as many points as the Pacers had in the first half, but, you know, had to withstand a third quarter where the Pacers, you know, came back, outscored them 29-14. Pacers were dialed in. It was the NBA. Like, I figured come, you know, after halftime, the Pacers would make some adjustments. There'd be a big run. NBA games really don't get underway until on the regular season, the fourth quarter. But in the postseason, I guess in the second half, once they come out of the locker room at halftime. And, you know, Bucks, they hung on, got a win. It was nice. I don't think I was ever in doubt that they were going to win. But Pacers made it a little interesting. And speaking of that, man, that's like, no, Giannis Antetokounmpo, right? If you were watching the game previous, kind of the same, very similar, I guess, as the Clippers were just spanking the living hell out of the Mavericks. And Clippers didn't have their best player in Kawhi Leonard, who was out, much like Giannis, who was out for the Bucks. But Clippers were just spanking the Mavericks. Mavericks make a big old run, third and fourth quarter, and fall short. I mean, they lost. The Mavs, who were down by over 30 points, they lost 109-97. The Bucks, they beat the Pacers 109-94. You know, very, very similar in kind of games here, not to a degree. If you're watching, though, it's like, I assume there's going to be a run, but I don't think the team's going to do it. One team who won didn't have their best player. The other team was down big and made a big run. NBA playoffs, you know, it's fun. Celtics beat the Heat 114-94. Still waiting on Jimmy Buckets. He's going to be a while, though. He's not going to be back for the playoffs. Already told you Clippers, Mavs. And then the final of all the games last night, Thunder take down the Pelicans 94-92. And then you go look at Saturday, you know, Cavaliers beat the Magic 97-83. T-Wolves spank the living hell out of the Suns 120-95. Knicks take the Sixers. Joel Embiid hurt 111-104. Stop me if you heard that. And how about the Joker? Jokic and the Nuggets take down LeBron James and the Lakers 114-103. So there's a little start to the NBA playoffs. I knew yesterday, not only when Damian Lillard was just dialed in, but when the announcers were talking, that Rick Carlisle was talking about how the Pacers are going to be using the in-game tournament, the playoff in-game tournament, a.k.a. the quote-unquote playoffs, I should say, as getting ready for the actual playoffs, I like had a belly laugh. It was literally just, what, one extra game? And the Pacers, you know, fell to the Lakers. It's okay, we're going to use the in-season tournament for a primer for the actual playoffs? I knew right there, LOL. RJ and I don't know if it came off as we were slandering this individual. I didn't mean for it to sound like that.
Ooh, okay.
But Brad from Marshall or Marshfield called in, and then Krebs, Jordan, had tweeted, texted it in. He said, no, call it Ray slander.
No, I
said outside of Freddie Peralta, like, the Brewers got one legit starting pitcher.
Yeah.
And then we, you know, and then people thought we were slandering Colin Ray. He was not slandering Colin Ray.
I mean, he got called up and down like five times last year. It's nothing against him. Like,
Colin Ray's been nice.
Or, who's the other guy? He's doing okay. Joe.
For the Brewers?
Yeah, the other.
Junis?
No.
D.L. Hall?
Nope. The other guy.
Wade Miley?
Nope. Joe.
Oh, Ross.
Yeah, thank you. Wow. Yeah. They're doing fine.
I almost forgot about him.
Right. They're doing fine. They're not Major League everyday starters. They're not.
This is slander. Kyle Ray's been nice. Five innings, hits yesterday, you know, three strikeouts.
I mean, put his ERA down again.
Yeah, 2.08. Like, he's been really nice.
If he turns out to all he needed was a chance, and that's what we're seeing right now, great.
And hey, that pitching lab that the Brewers have really is nice.
But
they really ramp up the pitchers.
You can't tell me going into this season, you were like, oh yeah, our number two is Kyle Ray.
I know, you're concerned about it. It's like, okay, Wade Miley, you know, injured, and then you get that rocket to his kneecap from Manny Machado. Did get a little blown up, but still, if you get a rocket 117 miles per hour to your kneecap, you're going to be a little phased.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. But Ray's been nice. D.L. Hall's been the one that you're like, hey. Brewers want his velocity
to get
up. And
he just went down with an injury on the 15-day IL.
But yesterday, for example, you go Ray, then you go Hudson, Peguero, then Piamps, and it was scoreless for, Ray then the bullpen. Brewers beat the Cardinals 2-0, and they moved to 14-6 on the year. RJ was reading some Cardinals fans' tweets. They're like, what are they calling the Brewers? Like
trash ass team?
No. If anyone's trash, it's the Cardinals.
Well, and then you had other more sane Cardinals fans being like, remember when we used to not hold on to guys too long and teams like the Brewers would pick them up?
Yeah.
We got to get rid of a lot of people. I was like, okay.
Yeah, the Cardinals fans can't handle it right now, as the Brewers are just creme de la creme. They are cream of the crop. And now they go to Pittsburgh. Yeah, Pittsburgh has lost, God, a bunch. They're back to 500 now. They're 11-11. And then after the Pirates, you get an off day, and then it's the New York Yankees. This will be some prime ball to see how the Brewers stand with one of the majors' best in the Yankees over for a weekend series. Fastball Freddy, amazing on Friday. You know, William Contreras getting it done in the 10th. Saturday, Jackson Chourio was on fire. The Brewers just manhandled the Cardinals. And then yesterday, it was another low-scoring game, and the Brewers find a way to get it done with those arms and some timely hitting. It was awesome. It was nice. Brewers are freaking hot, dude. You know, Owen Miller's little two-run single in the 7th lifted the Brewers to a nice little win. Loving it. This team is fun. It is really fun. Brewers, again, first time since September 24th to the 26th, 2018, was the last time they swept a three-game series in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
Milwaukee has now won 4 in a row. Bring out the brooms on the Cardinals. God, that feels good to say.
Look at the big brooms on the Brewers.
All right. Also, we're doing songs about time today in honor of Damian Lillard, because check the freaking watch. It's Dame time.
Time is it!
It's Dame time. Morris Day. It is
Morris Day in the time.
Dame time. That's what time it is, baby. A couple of requests for Morris Day in the time. Yeah, we got some questions to those hating on the Floyd, Pink Floyd, even the Doors they're hating on. You know, Denny and Holman said you guys got no taste in music. Corey and Marshall, what'd you say here, brother? What? He's like, how can you not like Floyd? What do you like? And then they were accused of the ones, the detractors of, you know, some awesome classic rock. They must be Swifties. You know, the whole rage now, this new Taylor Swift album just dropped over the weekend. You know, I try to stay up to date on pop culture, my music. I took a little listen to the Taylor Swift new album. I yawned and then about fell asleep. Personally, I don't get the allure of it. It's the most vanilla music I think I've ever heard. It's like, to me, it's... This is how I describe Taylor Swift. Like, if you like her, good on you. Like, I'm not going to be a hater. But to me, it's like looking at a 2x4 when you're eating a saltine cracker. That's the equivalent of Taylor Swift to me. I don't know exactly what it means, but I know that I mean it. Again, it's like a 2x4 in a saltine cracker. It's just dry, it's flavorless, and it's just bland. That's what it is for me. I don't get it. I don't understand it, but I'm, again, not going to be a hater. It's just, ugh. All right, Damon. We're doing songs for time today, too. For, if you check the watch, it's Dame time. Let's do time on the air. Damon Lillard, baby. Let's do the time on the air. 35 points. You better watch out. You better look the F out, dude. It was his Dame time. We'll hear comments from Damian Lillard momentarily here. You know, he was talking about missing the playoffs the last 2 years with the Blazers. He said, man, like, I had a lot of free time on my hands. He even went to Coachella, he was talking about. Oh, there's a collection of stuff I'd never want to be involved with either, Coachella. Well, yeah. So, taking requests here for songs with time in it. But speaking of Damian Lillard, you know, dude, it was unbelievable, right? Dame Time talks, you know, about the blowout win over the Pacers after going 1-4 against them during the regular season.
I think anytime you come out and you're able to get that first one off the board, I think you gain a little bit of confidence from it. Cause you know, all right, we got it done. We're not playing from behind. So it's important to do that and also take care of home court. But knowing that we was able to win a game and that we could do a lot of things better, I think that's the biggest thing for us. We just was able to get a win, shorthanded, and it was just a lot of things. Like even right now, when I look back at different points of the game where I'm like, man, we slipped up right there. You know, just a lot of those moments that I know we're going to watch on film. You know, we probably won't drill it hard in practice, but I'm sure we'll walk through some situations. And we just got to be the team that, you know, even when we win, we got to be coming in the next day looking to improve and kind of like, you know, shore up some of the holes that we had in the game tonight and be better in the next one.
Now, the Bucks Pacers, they have today off, then back at it tomorrow at the Pfizer, 7:30 tip. Now, you know, no Giannis. Giannis listed as doubtful before the game, and Doc Rivers was talking about how, you know, they didn't put Giannis with a walkthrough or anything. I mean, we figured he was going to be out. That was the news, right? Out a couple, like 2 to 3 weeks, I think Bleacher Report was saying. So if you can get by the Pacers, then hopefully you get Giannis back in the next round. But they dominated without the Greek Freak. Lillard talks on how they were able to do so.
Being on this team, we got a lot of guys that can do a lot of things, you know, so it takes a real teammate to be willing to give yourself up, you know, that many times. It was a lot of screens set for me tonight. And that's, you know, that's part of being a teammate, getting your teammate open, you know, doing what's necessary to give your team the best chance. And, you know, it was Jay screening. It was Pat Connaughton. It was Pat Bev. It was Brooke, Bobby, you know, I feel like everybody screened for me tonight. And it's whatever we got to do to win games. And that worked tonight, I'm sure. Next game, we'll see a different look, and we're going to have to make our adjustments. But tonight, everybody just gave themselves up for the team, you know. And even in the second half, when they put two guys on me and face guarded me, it was times where I had to run in and slip out and, you know, try to screen on the ball to see what type of reaction or just space or be a decoy or whatever for us to be able to keep flowing. And we was able to do that. So, you know, I think that's what it's going to take. You know, it's just giving ourselves up for each other.
Yeah, it was a great team effort because, you know, Damian Lillard, he was the focal point, obviously. I mean, that's your guy when Giannis is down. Chris Middleton had a nice game. Bobby Portis, a nice game. You know, Pat Bev. He's talking about Connaughton, too. I mean, everyone's stepping up to be a part of a team. Instead of a me, or a, you know, there's no I in team. Everyone was doing their part, creating a lot of space for Damian Lillard in the first half to get open, the screens he was talking about there. And then in the second half, for is how hot that Dame was in the first half, he went 0 for 5, didn't score a single point in the second half. But it was the other guys on that team stepping up for the Bucks. Again, I mean, Damian Lillard just went through it talking about, you know, how everyone just knew their role and fulfilled it in immense great. And that was something that kind of plagued the Bucks a little bit because they were talking about, you know, defined roles on the team. That's when Doc Rivers took over and they were struggling a little bit. They would revert to like some ISO basketball, some one-on-one stuff. And Doc would be talking about how they weren't trusting each other, not you know, having the pass. How they even had a sit-down when they had that little tough spell when Doc first took over, and they had a team meeting. It was a come-to-Jesus meeting where they all defined their roles. And then throughout the regular season, the rest of the regular season, it was a little up and down with it. But again, I mean, the Bucks, this is the oldest team in the NBA. I think it was a bunch of vets waiting because they knew they had a top four seed locked up in the East. As long as you have that, you got home court advantage. And they're waiting, these vets, to be, you know, flipping that switch that we all thought maybe they couldn't flip in the playoffs because, you know, it's a regular season NBA. Even the players were like, I don't really care about regular season, dude. And now come postseason, they got their defined roles, and you saw that. When someone's hot, you feed the hot hand, and Damian Lillard. And then Lillard talks, you know, what it's like being back in the NBA playoffs after not getting there the last two seasons with Portland.
Yeah, it was the last 2 years not being in the playoffs, it was, you know, it sucked. I was early vacations. Last year, I went to Coachella. Like, I ain't never been able to go to Coachella. Like, it's just playing in the playoffs every year. So just having that long summer, it was like, man, I was over that. But being able to be in a playoff series on a you know, a championship team and a championship organization, knowing that we got an opportunity for it, you know, I think that was the thing that I was looking forward to most is, you know, I moved my life and moved my career and did all of these things and kind of made my life a little bit harder, you know, away from basketball for this opportunity. So coming into it, you know, I just in my mind and in my heart, I was just like, man, I can't, you know, come this far and not at least try to, you know, put everything into it and put my best foot forward. So this is just one game, but I know it's, you know, it's going to be a hard journey, you know, every night out. And, you know, I'm just excited for this opportunity.
Got to go to Coachella.
I don't know.
I'm a music guy. Love me some music. Love me some live shows. I don't think Coachella's for me, man. I don't think that place is for me. So Dame, I mean, he's got the disposable income to do so. You go to Coachella, it's just a bunch of like Instagram influencers, quote unquote, all dressed up in like the wildest outfits you could imagine, taking copious amounts of like psychedelics and then music that I guess maybe I'm too old for now because I see the lineup. I'm like, who in the hell are these people? What? Why would I want to go be in the sun, head to toe covered in dirt with a bunch of, you know, not hippies, but like Instagram influencers that are whacked out of their brains trying to wear some wild, I don't know. No, just no. Dame, I'm glad that you can enjoy it and glad you could do it, but now it's time to focus on the playoffs. And then a couple of people with their concerns here, the Badger Trio on Twitch, as a Doc was working these veterans into the ground late into the season, and no Dame points in the second half is kind of concerning. I got another text here on the text line at 608-321-1670, and there's not a name, so I can't give credit to the name, but they had said, I think my only concern of the Bucks win is that they basically ran an eight-man rotation, even though they were up by 30 at one point. I hope this team doesn't gas out. You know, that was maybe the concern of Damian Lillard in the second half, gassing out there at the end. And you only got that, you know, day off today and then back at it. So, you know, fingers crossed that this veteran gassing out. We'll see. I mean, Doc Rivers, you got to maybe expand that little bench, especially if you're up by 30 points. Had the time of our lives watching Damian Lillard. Check the watch. It's Dame time. How about Therese Halliburton, real quick? Ever since the in-season tournament, this is his stats. 16.5 points per game, 3.3 rebounds per game, 8.5 assists per game, shooting 43% for field goals, and 31% from beyond the arc. He has really cooled off since the start of that NBA season, and he hit the celebration, the Dame Time celebration in front of Damian Lillard. Lillard, in a press conference afterwards, when Halliburton hit the celebration, Dame celebration in front of him, he's like, dude, just got to be humble. Just got to be humble in this league. Pacers, how unlikable are they? Stemming back from when Giannis scored 64 points, they stole the ball, wouldn't give it back to him. There's that scuffle in the locker room. You know, Giannis wanted to go get his ball. And they're like, no, we got to give it to this guy who scored 1 point, his first point for a free throw in the NBA. But that's not even on the playoff roster for the Pacers. They tried to be the bad boys, you know, get under the Bucks' skin. Now the Bucks are up 1-0. 1-0 in the NBA's playoffs. Doc Rivers, you know, say what you will. Doc Rivers hopefully can get himself another ring. That means the Bucks will be getting a ring. Last time he did so was 2008. Doc Rivers, though, was talking about, you know, seeing Damian Lillard go off at 35 points in the first half. Here's Doc. Take a listen.
He carried us. He was unbelievable. I thought he had just played under control, very aggressive, which is the way we wanted him. I thought we our pick setting in the first half especially was phenomenal. You know, we're a slip team, and we didn't slip tonight. We slipped the first one, actually, and then after that, you know, we worked on setting picks the entire 4 days off just to give them room. The other thing, the biggest difference I thought, though, that he started the game going downhill, and then the game came out. Like, he started the game attacking the basket. That's what we talked about. Get to the basket, get to the paint, and then the floor will open up. And I thought that's where the threes led after the attack. So it was really good.
Yeah, Doc Rivers went on to talk about, you know, Damian Lillard, what makes him special. He compares him to a prized fighter. Hell yeah.
Yeah, I don't even know. Honestly, number one would be his confidence is literally unshakable. It just really is. You know, it's funny. He loves boxing. That's where we kind of connect because I'm Ali and Frazier. I grew up with boxing, and you know, it was good that I was right yesterday. You know, he took Haney, I took Garcia. Clearly, I know more about boxing. But he's got that prize fighter like mentality. It was almost like he was training for the fight, and then when the bell rings, he seems to be ready. That's his mentality. And that's how he plays.
You know, Damian Lillard was talking about in that Sports Illustrated interview, a sit-down that he had, I don't know, like halfway through the season, a little after Doc had got here, how, you know, he didn't really have much to do in Milwaukee. You know, his whole life was set up in Portland. His family was there. You know, he's familiar with the city, but there for so long, right? And then come, you know, getting traded to Milwaukee, he's like, man, I don't know anyone. I just go home and I go on YouTube and I look up boxing videos and play some video games. But he's like, I'm here to play basketball, though. Like, you understood. People took that interview the wrong way with him not acclimated, you know, to the city of Milwaukee. But he was there in Portland for so long. His mom was there. His kids were there. And then all of a sudden he's going through a divorce, gets traded, new city. And he's just sitting at home watching boxing videos, playing video games. And people are like up in arms over it. Well, Damian Lillard literally said yesterday, after a big first half, this is why y'all got me. This is why I came here. And he proved it. He showed it. It was amazing. Now, the second half, you know, Doc Rivers was talking about it in that first clip that we just played. They started double, triple teaming Damian Lillard in the after halftime, and he didn't score any points in the second half. But as a team, they stepped up. Doc Rivers talks about, you know, the Pacers double teaming up on Lillard, and then who stepped up for the Bucks?
Chris, Jay Crowder, Malik, they all, Pat Connaughton, they all gave us something, you know. AJ missed shots, but he did a lot of good things defensively, you know. So there was not a guy that I put in that I wasn't happy with the way they played. You know, when Dame's off the floor, it's Chris and Bobby. It was more Chris. Bobby had a stretch. But Chris in the second half, to me, saved us in a lot of ways.
Yeah, Chris Middleton was money. 23 points, 9 of 14 shooting. His plus-minus, he was plus 25 on the court. Bobby Portis, awesome in the second half. 15 points, 11 rebounds. There's a little double-double for you. He was plus 23 on the court. Pat Bev, playing with that, a torn ligament in his right wrist. Opted not to do surgery. He's like, I'll just play through it, man. Just tape it up and let me go. He was nice, too, in moments. He was a plus 17 on the court. So you look at this. It was nice. Jay Crowder, good 12 minutes from him. Beasley, he was nice off the bench, you know, giving some rest. He had 29 minutes. And Planet Pat, I mean, everyone on that team did their role and did it well. It was nice. Doc Rivers also is just talking about they trusted each other. It was all about the plan. And that's what you love to see. It was awesome. Other team, well, real quick here, actually. Hear from the enemy a little bit here. Siakam was talking about what they'll have to do come, you know, Tuesday night. Here's a little behind the lines.
Obviously, we see what, you know, was thrown at us, and we go and learn from it in terms of just, like, rotations and different things like that. But also, you know, mentally, it's just, like, they played harder than us in the first half. So, like, and I think it was clear as day. When we came back in the second half, I thought it was a lot better. We still made some mistakes, but I just think that, like, our energy and our effort was a lot better, which... That's a standard. That's what it's got to be like, and even more.
Is anyone, you know, how concerned are you now about the Bucks? I know it's one game, but it's the playoffs. Things get, you know, turned up to another level. Are you still concerned about the Bucks after what you saw game one? Now, I wouldn't imagine that Damian Lillard is going to go out again game two and, you know, score another 35 points in the first half. I'd assume that the Pacers would reevaluate, change some game plans, watch a lot of tape, obviously, and come back. And they're a common opponent. Pacers had their number in the regular season, but again, that's the regular season. Halliburton's cooled off. We just read those numbers a little bit ago. Are you still concerned about the Deer? Are you still concerned about the Bucks? They will get better when Giannis comes back. And hopefully it's sooner rather than later, right? I mean, Giannis was listed as doubtful. It's that left soleus calf muscle strain. He suffered, April 9th against the Celtics. You know, Doc Rivers not formally saying that he can't go for this opening series, but again, listed as doubtful, didn't do the walkthrough. But we've seen Giannis come back from freak injuries. Hell, look when they won the championship. Giannis' knee bent the other way, and we all thought maybe you got to have to get it lopped off after the injury that we witnessed. Giannis came back after a couple of games off and just dominated. That's why they got the championship. So, Adetokounmpo played through a myriad of injuries this season, but was always available for the Bucks. They went 4-6 without him, and three of those four wins, however, were against the playoff teams in Phoenix, Orlando, and the Clippers. So, I don't know. Or do you have all the utmost faith now in Damian Lillard? Maybe this experiment is, you know, paying off in dividends now. It's all he yelled it out. This is why y'all got me. This is why I came here. It was awesome to see a rockin' Pfizer four, man. The rest of the NBA playoffs, you know, the Clippers kind of got a similar situation as the Bucks. Kawhi Leonard did not play. Clippers, their best player. They just throttled the Dallas Mavericks. Mavericks made a run, just like the Pacers made a run. Made it a little interesting, but you never thought it was in doubt. And then Clippers go on to win. You know, James Harden really stepped up for the Clips. They just throttled the freaking Mavericks. You saw the Celtics take down the Heat, 114-94. You know, no Jimmy Butler. Thunder take down the Pelicans, no Zion Williamson for the Pels. Thunder win 94-92. Saturday, it's some good games. Cavaliers best the Magic, 97-83. T-Wolves spanked the living bejesus out of the Suns, 120-95. Sixers saw Joel Embiid go down. Shocking, an injury for Joel Embiid. Knicks win, 111-104 over Philadelphia. And then LeBron James and the Lakers, after you know their games in the play-in tournament, they get teamed up against the Nuggets and Joker. Nuggs, they win 114-103. So right now, just easing on into the playoffs, easing on in. And I think this is the, what did I read? It was the first time in a long time that all home teams won. 8-0 for the home team. It's been a long time. I forget the exact stat, but it's been like 2 decades, I think, if not longer, since all home teams took game one. So road teams, better luck next time. Hopefully not against the Bucks tomorrow at the Pfizer against the Pacers. And then we got to wait till Friday. 4:30 is the tip-off in Indiana. 4:30 on Friday for Bucks-Pacers. What a bizarre kind of time right there. But hey, get your NBA game in, get game three in, and then you go off and get yourself some fish fry, old-fashioned maybe, on a nice little Wisconsin Friday night. And you just ease on into the weekend.
Good morning, Grant Bills.
Morning, Ebo.
Well, I was talking to the pipeline of the North Troy. He was at the Tim McGraw Show at the Pfizer. I'm like, did he play Indian Outlaw? I called him a coward for not doing it. I saw you chuckling in the other room there.
He. I heard that Tim McGraw did an after show, a smaller show at Pottawatomie, and he played it there instead. is that a bad joke?
No, it's funny.
Okay. I thought so.
Why turn your back on one of your biggest hits of all time?
I don't think it is one of his biggest hits of all time. Tim McGraw.
When I was on the school bus.
Yeah.
The bus driver always had country on. I was in the 90s. The 90s country. This song would play like every 20 minutes for years.
Yeah. And when I was little on the bus, it was Watch the Wind Blow By and Southern Voice. And dude, Tim McGraw. Tim McGraw is a hit machine.
Why he turned his back on this song, I'll never know.
Because he has 40 other ones that were all just as big and not a cancelable offense in 2024.
You wouldn't want to hear this song live?
No, it would be great.
And you start pounding your feet on the ground.
Boom, 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 boom. It does
whole
have...
whole arena singing.
It does have a crazy, like, live crowd energy that this is pretty be awesome.
Arena country rock.
Everyone's stomping their
feet. Just sing. Boom, 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 boom,
boom. Cherokee people. Everyone could yell on.
Cherokee pride.
You've talked me into this song being... I have no problem with this song. I just look at it and I'm like, I get it. I get why maybe we don't.
I don't get it. Explain it to me.
Come on. It's a little too on the nose. I can kill a deer or a buffalo. With just an arrow and my hickory bow. Like,
yeah, dude. Don't you know? He does it all the time, Grant Bills.
Oh, no.
Late at night trying to catch a peek at me.
can't believe that. I can't believe a group of people sat down and were like, I got it.
She's a Chippewa.
Dude, they heard the song like,
this is a hit.
Well, it is. I mean,
this
it is
a hit.
It is.
Here you go. Come on, Timmy.
You get some pyrotechnics going here.
Oh, yeah. Boom, boom, boom. Proud to live. So proud to die. Ooh,
yeah. I mean, this is a rock song.
What a banger.
You know, Bill does not like Tim McGraw, by the way.
Well,
we talked about this.
I like his music.
Yeah, I don't care how famous people are in person. I don't care.
Neither, same.
I don't care.
I don't care.
I had a bad interaction. I don't care.
What a song.
Oh my
what
God.
A banger,
oh
dude.
Oh my God.
The fact you turned your back.
Heat.
On that single.
I mean, we're acting like this is the only awesome song that Tim McGraw has so many awesome songs.
I'll say
songs.
That's his best song.
I don't know.
Turn his back on it.
I'm going to look at his greatest hits.
And for what? And why, Tim? Why? Come on. All right. Brewers, Grant, how about this? Game one.
How about it?
William Contreras drives in both runs to win in extras. Nice little Freddy Peralta game two.
The Brewers had no business winning game one, by the way. Probably shouldn't have won that one. They stole that one.
Game two. I mean, they had all the business winning that one. 18
exactly.
Hits and a blowout. Jackson Chourio, big hog, dragging one all across Busch Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And then yesterday, Colin Ray.
No business winning.
And, you know, the rest of the bullpen combined for a shutout. They get it done. And it was a sweep. First time since 2018. You get Owen Miller breaking up the scoreless tie in the seventh, two-run single.
Yeah. Cardinals fans on Sonny Gray's elite day. Like, he was striking everybody out, and he was doing it efficiently. Like, that's the worst nightmare. Like, if the opposing starting pitcher has 11, 12 strikeouts, the hope is, well, you can chase him after 5 or 6 because they're working hard to strike out all these. But he was efficient. And for Colin Ray, Owen Miller, Bryce Tarang, like, that's the ragtag group that gets the Brewers a win on a day like yesterday.
I was accused a couple times this morning for having slander to Colin Ray because I said outside of Freddy Peralta, like, you know, the Brewers are void of some kind of frontline starting pitching. People are like, well, there's no Colin Ray slander today. Like, I'm not slandering Colin Ray.
We've waited for almost 2 years now for Colin Ray to implode. Like,
that's what I feel like we're waiting.
We're waiting for the jig to be up, and it's just not ever seemingly going to happen.
Yeah. Knock on wood.
Knock on wood, of course.
Knock on wood.
He uses every pitch in the ballpark, or every inch of the ballpark to get outs. He uses every available base to get through an inning.
So, I just want to make this clear. We're Colin Ray people. We have Colin Ray pride. Okay?
Damn it.
I'm just putting it out there.